Well, today we're closing our series. We've called it Known For. And we've asked two questions. We've asked the question, what are we known for? And we've asked the question, what do we want to be known for? I mean, it makes sense for any organization, any business, any school to ask a question like that. But we feel like it's an important time in our day and time, in our culture, to have this conversation about what are we known for and what do we want to be known for. Because I first heard these questions posed to me from a guy named Jeff Henderson. He's a pastor in Atlanta. And when he asked those questions, what I was gripped by was what we all know intuitively. And that is that there's a gap. There is an unacceptable gap within the church, the universal church, between what we're known for and what we want to be known for. And in this series, we have said we want to be known for what Jesus has called us to be known for. We want to be known for sharing hope. We want to be known for following Jesus moment by moment. We want to be a people who are known for making disciples, being disciples who make disciples. And today what we're going to talk about as we're closing this series is we're going to talk about the glue that holds it all together. I'm telling you, if there was a secret sauce to spiritual growth, it would be the way that the Holy Spirit works within each of us when we are living in biblical community. Let's talk about biblical community. That's something we talk about here at Oak Hills Church a lot. But when we say biblical community, what are we talking about? Let's define it this way. An intentional gathering where followers of Jesus develop authentic relationships with one another, learn from Scripture, and provide mutual encouragement, accountability, and care to one another. So if you have biblical community, if you have this, then you already know the value of it. You already know how important it is in your life because you already have someone in your life, maybe someone or a group of someones who come around you and they know the Word of God well enough to hold you accountable to it. Now, these are the people in your life that they see something in your life, see something in your behavior, and they go, you know, I've kind of just noticing this a little bit, this in your behavior, and you know, well, we've talked about this thing over here before, and I'm wondering if maybe there's a connection, and you know, so before you know, I start to go off the rails, somebody's like, hey, let's just kind of bring it in here. You already know the value of that because you've had people do that in your life. And if you have biblical community, then you have someone who knows you. I mean, really knows you. You have given them permission to speak into your life. Hey, if you see something that's off, you can speak into my life. And they know most everything about you, and yet they're the people that say, I love you. I love you just like you are. You belong. You have people like that in your life. You have the people, if you have biblical community, you have the people that you can call at 3 a.m, no matter what it is, and they will come running, and you know that. You have the people in your life. Maybe you have some pictures up in your home that's not just of your immediate or extended family. They're not family, but they are family because they're in your biblical community. If you have that, you already know the value of that, but if you don't, today I want to show you how you can. And I want to acknowledge why biblical community is such an important piece to what we have been called to in life, following Jesus moment by moment. Why is it so important for us to fulfill the purpose and the calling in our life? And then today, it's going to be a little different. We're going to do something to experience this community right here, right now, today. I realize I just made the introverts really squirm in their seats. Don't worry, we will not make it weird, but we will experience community. Now, here is our vision. Here's what we want to see, not just what we want to see, but what we, as your leadership, feel like God has called us to see come to fruition here through the Oak Hills Church. It is this: we envision a community of disciples courageously engaging culture with the hope of Jesus, where we live, work, learn, and play. I remember when we were coming together, we were on our knees praying, or really, I mean, on our face, just begging God, God, show us, help us to discover what it is that you're already doing. Help us to see where you're taking us as the Oak Hills Church. And I remember someone saying, you know what? If this doesn't happen, if this vision doesn't happen in community, it's not likely to happen at all. So what I'm saying to you is that when you see this vision statement, this is very important right here at the very beginning. We envision a community of disciples. Because biblical community is what holds it all together. It wasn't our idea. Biblical community is not new with us. In fact, it's as old as time. Well, actually, biblical community is older than time. Let me see if I can explain. Number one, if you're taking some notes here, we were created for community. This is the first point of why community is so important. We were created for community. You see, in the beginning, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like what? Us. To be like us. Now, who is the us? Well, the us is God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. You see, before there was time, before time began, there was the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and together they were community. Together they were in perfect harmony, one with each other, three in one. Before time began, community was within them. And so they began to create. And it just makes sense that when we see Genesis chapter 2, as they create, they say, it is good. It is good. They create again. They say, it is good. And then there comes a point where it is not good. What was that all about? Well, it is not good for the man to be alone. They create man. They say, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. God says, this isn't going to work. We made them like us. We made him in our image. And he can't be alone because we're not. And so he makes a helper. Eve comes into the picture. Now, this isn't just about the union of marriage. So whether you are married, whether you're single, the same truth holds true for all of us. And that is we were all created in the image of God. So what does that mean? It means community is in us, all of us. We were created for community, regardless of whether we're married or single. We were created for community. And this is why isolation hurts so much. We weren't created for it. See, we weren't designed, our very DNA in us. We are created for a community. Now, we can go all Lone Ranger all we want, okay? And sometimes that's what we do, you know. I got this. But it won't change the fact that community is in us. And it won't change the fact that community is good for us. Look at this from Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him. Woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. And then in the Proverbs, we see this caution in chapter 18. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. Now, who wrote Ecclesiastes? Who wrote the Proverbs? Solomon. King Solomon. Now, what was King Solomon known for? Wisdom. So you have Solomon who is, he has this wisdom. And he's the one saying, if you separate yourself, if you isolate yourself, if you choose to do that, you are picking a fight with wisdom. And you don't want to pick a fight with her. Because you're not going to win that one. And that leads us to our second point. Not only were we created for community, but we are called to community. This time I want to look at the writer of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews is writing a group of Christians who are enduring and suffering intense persecution. And specifically in chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews says, keep the faith, hold on to your hope, hold firmly to this hope that we profess. But then he takes it a step farther, and he says, this is the pathway to love. And then in chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews says this, let us think of ways, right? Like, let us be creative. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So how do we motivate one another? How do we spur one another on to love and to good works? We come together. The writer of Hebrews says we come together. We meet together. We encourage one another. And then he says, don't neglect the gathering of the people together. Now, keep in mind who he's writing to. He's not writing to someone who is worried about missing the big game or their tea time. He's writing to people who are suffering intense persecution. They're wondering, should we continue gathering together because my personal property was just confiscated? We're experiencing social ostracism, this intense public persecution. Some have been thrown in prison, and others, their very lives are being threatened. Should we continue to gather? And the writer of Hebrews says, yes. Don't neglect it. Continue to gather. Continue to encourage one another. It's that important. Number three, we are not just created for community. We're not just called to community, but we will grow in community. We will grow. Think about the people that the Hebrews writer is writing to. He's saying to them, and he's saying to us, if you want to grow, it's going to happen in community. And when you're in biblical community, here's what's going to happen. Your faith will be stronger. Your hope will be firmer. And your love will be louder to all those around you. Why? Because we will never just drift into discipleship. We don't just wake up one day and go, well, some time has passed, and well, look at me. I'm more like Christ. I'm more spiritually mature. I've grown spiritually. Discipleship takes intentionality, like most things in life. We know it takes intentionality. It takes training, and it takes a team. So I got to ask you, who's on your team? Who is helping you be a disciple who can make disciples? That can make disciples. Who's on your team? Our goal here at Oak Hills Church is that every single person in this body lives in biblical community. That they live in a place where they are loved, that they are known, that they are cared for, encouraged, challenged to follow Jesus moment by moment. Because there is a gap between what we're known for and what we want to be known for, and we want to shrink that gap. And friends, that happens in biblical community. Many are more familiar with what the church is against rather than what the church is for. One of the things that especially younger generations believe that the church is known for is judgmentalism. We just judge. We don't know people. We just judge them. We just exclude, right? But in biblical community, someone says, hey, this is who I am, you know, warts and all. And someone says, we love you. Someone says, you belong here. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you about the man behind the grace that you receive. It's the same grace that I receive. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about this man who gave his life. He was crucified on a cross, and he overcame the power of sin in my life, and he'll overcome the power of sin in your life as well. And not only that, but he overcame the power of death, because 3 days later he rose from the grave. And one of these days, we can too. Let me tell you about the gospel of Jesus. You see, that's what happens in biblical community, and that's where the narrative begins to change. It happens in biblical community. My kids, when they were younger, I mean really young, at some point, all four of them, I was, you know, helping them get dressed or something. Okay, let's be honest. Their mom was helping them get dressed. And at one point, they would say this: I do it to myself. I mean, I did not teach them this phrase. They came up with this on their own. I do it to myself. Which is great for a child who's growing in their independence. But for an adult to take that I do it myself mentality into adulthood, friends, it just doesn't work. And it will never take you closer to mission. It will never take you closer. I do it myself will never take you closer to the purpose and the calling on your life. It will only take you farther away. We were created for community. We are called to community, and we will grow in community. And friends, if we want to shrink the gap between what we're known for and what we want to be known for, we've got to grow. We have to mature as the body of Christ. If we want to reach the world for Christ, we have to grow to become more Christ-like in every situation, even the hard ones. Especially the hard ones, to be able to approach situations in a Christ-like manner, in humility, in love, gentleness, self-control. And we believe that these things are strengthened in biblical community. Now, we want to invite every single person to take a step into biblical community. Some of you have already done that, but if you have not, I told you I would show you how. Here are two really practical ways for you to take a step in biblical community. The first one is start a group. You're going to see a QR code there. Click on that. There's going to be a link there that gives you information about this. Start a group. Some of you have already been thinking and praying. God has already laid it on your heart to start a group because you have a community around you and you've been thinking, you know, I've already got this community. Maybe it's a community of non-believers. Maybe God is asking me to bring those people together so that we can apply Scripture to our lives, so that we can not drift away from our purpose and calling of life, but intentionally move towards it. And maybe God is calling me to start a group. For some of you, that may feel like a big jump. If it is, then here's the second thing that I would encourage you to do, and that is join a group. Okay, again, that QR code, it's going to give you the information. We have groups, dozens of groups that are meeting all over the city in the greater San Antonio area, globally. So whether you're looking for a group locally or globally, we have groups that are meeting in homes. We have groups that are meeting in the workplace. We have groups that are meeting in schools. We have groups that are meeting in restaurants. Why? Well, because we're sharing the hope of Jesus where we live, work, learn, and play. And these groups are meeting regularly, and they're holding one another accountable, and they're exploring Scripture, and they're mutually encouraging one another. And I want to invite you, if you've not taken that step into a small group, this is your opportunity to do that, and we will help you do that. Now, maybe some of you have tried small groups before. You're like, okay, been there, done that. Didn't work out for me. Or it worked out great, and then it just kind of fizzled, or it worked out great, and everybody moved away, and now I don't really know what to do. Maybe joining a group feels like a bit of a jump. Then I want to invite you to be a part of what we are calling our adult Bible communities. Starting September 12th, these are going to meet on Sundays. And our team has worked so hard to develop an adult Bible community for every demographic and for every age, life, stage. In fact, here are some of them that are going to be available to you beginning September 12th. At 9 a.m., it's going to be young professionals and young marrieds. And then at the 10:30 hour, it's going to be singles, parents with kids, parents with students, empty nesters, senior adults. Again, our team has worked not only to make these available, and we're hoping that even more of these communities will grow. These are medium-sized communities. We're hoping to see people take a step into these communities. If you're not ready to start a group, if you're not ready to join a group, then maybe this is your next step. And if you're younger and you've been looking for someone to mentor you, and you're looking for someone to guide you as you want to be a person who guides all people to follow Jesus moment by moment, I want you to know we've got some outstanding mentors, some outstanding facilitators and leaders in these communities. And they are there because they want to help you take your next step. And maybe getting into an adult Bible community is your next step. We believe that we want to be known for living in biblical community, because that's what Jesus wants us to be known for. And that's what the early church was known for. A lot of times when we talk about biblical community, what we do, because we want everything to be grounded in Scripture. If it's not grounded in Scripture, it's not worth much. But when we talk about biblical community, we go back to places like Acts chapter 2. Jesus has been walking with his people, and now he's ascended into heaven to be with his Father. And now these people have formed, the church has come together, and they're living out these values. They're living out the things that they heard from him. They were eyewitnesses, many of them, and they're living it out. And then we find in Acts chapter 2 just how they did it. Look at this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. And get this, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. This is a beautiful picture of biblical community rising up out of the teachings and out of the person who was Jesus Christ. We read last week a passage in Galatians. I want to start with that, verse 9, and then I want to read verse 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And then look at this. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I want to pray. We said we're going to pray first. Well, let's start right now. Father, You are so good to us in so many ways. You are a great God, yet you are so good. And you are so close, and you are so in tune with us. You are so in tune with those around us, and you know where the needs are. Holy Spirit, would you guide us? Show us where we can bring salt. Show us where we can give some light. Where we can be vessels of Jesus, the light of the world. Would you guide us in this? We place it in your hands. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.